pray. Amen. Turn your Bible over to John chapter 4. I'm trying to keep it short so you guys can take your dad out and do your Father's Day thing. That's a good thing. John chapter 4, we'll start in verse 43. Let's read together. After the 2 days, he had left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see miraculous sign and wonder, Jesus told them, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus replied, you may go, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. When he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus said to him, your son will live. So he and all his household believed. Amazing story. You know, this month we've been talking about faith. We've been talking about what does faith look like. You know, Steve's been talking about faith. And, you know, this morning I want us to learn from this man, this father's faith. You know, from Capernaum to Cana, where Jesus did his first miracle, which is turning water into wine, it's about like a 19-mile trek. My 19-mile trek. And it says this guy, this father was a royal official. He was a representative of Herod's, in Capernaum. You can see he's kind of wealthy. He had servants. He probably has a house. You know, this guy came down to ask Jesus for help. So what can we learn from this father? I have a couple of things that I think we can learn from this father. Number one thing is you cannot do this alone. You cannot do this alone. You cannot do life alone. Some of us think, I can do this alone. You know you can't. You cannot do life alone. You know, remember a few years ago, we came back from midweek, and I had a bag of cashew. And I was eating cashew, and my daughter said, hey, can I have some? I said, yeah, sure. I gave her a cashew. And as soon as she ate it, she's like, Dad, I don't feel so good. And I, spit it out, spit it out. And she's like, she's just throwing it up. And then she starts throwing up, like she's just throwing up. And I did not know that she was allergic to this, right? And so we're like, oh my goodness, what's happening? So we rush her to Gwinnett Medical. We got to Gwinnett Medical, and they were trying to do all kinds of things. But I can see something was not right. And her airways were being blocked. And she couldn't breathe. And she was walking around like she couldn't breathe. And I'm like, calm down, like sit down. And she couldn't because she's gasping for air. And so eventually they had a helicopter from Scottish Rite come to Gwinnett Medical, pick her up, and take her to a Scottish Rite's Children's Hospital. And so there's like, you know, there's not room for you. You're going to have to meet us down there. So I ran in my car. I drove, and I was driving down to Scottish Rite. I was praying. I was like, God, please help my daughter. Right. I was desperate. Like, please, I was in tears begging God to spare her life, to help her to overcome this. I was scared. I've never seen anything like that. And I think this father was so similar to that. He was scared. My son is at home. he's about to die. And you know, sometimes as parents, we look at our kids and we're like, there's times in our life we're like, I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen right here. And we're like this, Father, what do I need to do? See, we can't do this alone. It says he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. Begging comes from a place of absolute humility and desperation. People who beg doesn't, you know, they just casually kind of beg. It's because they're at the point where I have nothing left. I am so desperate. I'm down to begging. See, this guy went to walk to Capernaum in 19 miles and to get down and talk and beg Jesus to come and heal his son. Death was imminent. But I believe the reason why we don't beg is I think sometimes our pride gets in the way. Status, right? I don't want to look weak. I don't want to look like I need something. You know, I want to keep my status. I'm proud of who I am. We're too proud to beg. Not this Father. Or we don't get it. We think, oh well, you know, we either don't do it because we're too proud, or we don't understand the gravity of what's happening at the moment. One of two things. We're too proud to beg, or we don't understand the gravity of what's happening right here. And I think sometimes Jesus wants to see where our heart is at. Jesus wants to see, hey, are you desperate enough? Are you humble enough to come and ask me? I want to help you. I want to help you. And sometimes there's sin in our life that we cannot overcome. And we're like, man, I just can't overcome this sin. Are we begging God? Are we begging for help? Or are we trying to do this on our own? And I've said this before. This is me. This is me, right? When I give in to sin, I was like, well, I'm already in sin. So I might as well just keep going. Right? I keep going. And then like, well, I'm already over here. So why not? Let's just keep going. It's this snowball effect. Instead of going to God in desperation, please, God, help me. Send me somebody. Do something with my heart. Change my heart. You cannot do this alone. You know, is walking 19 miles too much for us? Is walking 19 miles too much for us to get to Jesus? Is coming to midweek and youth and family gathering and family group meeting too much for us? Ah, that's just too much. To get to Jesus? Desperate. Hey, you know, am I getting with somebody to help me with my marriage, my kids, my character? Ah, that's too inconvenient. That means I gotta drive across town to meet you. Is that too much? You know, I hear disciples all over the world where they would travel for days, and they're not even sure if anybody's going to be over there to sit down and talk with them. And they would travel for days. I remember walking in Bangkok up to my leg here going to church because, you know, it was raining. It was in the rainy season. You know, people around the world, disciples around the world, is not letting anything stop them to get to Jesus. What about us? Are we even about God anymore? Or are we just about our life and the things that we want to do? We can't do this alone. We need Jesus. We need God. You know, we are in a war. Whether you like it or not, we are in a war. And in a war, there are casualties. The question is, are you going to be the casualties? Or are you going to survive because you're close to God? I don't want us to be casualties. I want us to survive. I want us to make it home, to see our families, to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus' face one day. There's nothing that's going to stop me from seeing Jesus' face. not circumstances, not people, not anything. Let us make that commitment. We're going to see Jesus' face one day. Amen. We're not going to be casualties. We cannot do this alone. We need Jesus. You know, we sing that song, Jesus, my Jesus, he will fix it. He will fix it. Whatever it is, he will fix it. If it's your marriage, if it's your kids, if it's your job, whatever it is, God is going to fix it. Just stay close to him. Don't wander off. You know, according to your faith, will it be done for you? Matthew 9, according to your faith. My second point is your faith has tremendous impact. Your faith has tremendous impact. It says the man took Jesus at his word and departed. He simply just took his word, say, you said it, I'm leaving, it's going to happen. Faith simply took Jesus at his word. And as a result, it says all his household believed. They came to believe because of this man's faith. Sometimes we want to see the evidence before we believe, right? We want to see, hey, well, what? We're scientific. We want to see the evidence before we jump right in. But God says, no, 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 I need you to believe. Believe in me. What I can do. Does your family, does your household know your belief? Can they see tangible faith? You know, we talk about faith in this theory thing, right? But can they see your tangible faith? What is my dad's faith? What is my mom's faith? Or do we just talk about it on Sunday and midweek? Are they seeing it every day? Is Jesus still your passion? You know, we're passionate. The World Cup is happening right now. And the United States has an amazing chance to win again. They're amazing. And people, they're passionate. You see those guys on TV, they paint their faces. They spend money to go over to, right now it's in France. They spend money to go over there for weeks to be part of the World Cup. They're passionate. Give up money, time, whatever it is that I need to give up, I'm going to make it to the World Cup. What is it about us? Are we passionate about Jesus? Are we passionate about things of God? Or are we just passionate about our job and our career? Are we passionate about money? Are we passionate about anything else but God? A good gauge is to ask your family, ask your kids, ask your spouse, hey, well, you know, top three of my life, what do you think? What is the top three of my life? And if it's not God and Jesus somewhere in there, we got to recalibrate. Recalibrate. Jesus has to be at the top. No, we need to fear the Lord. It says the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. It says Proverbs 14 here. It says, he who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. See, when we fear the Lord, it will be a refuge for our children. It will be a fortress, a refuge for our children. But it starts with us fearing the Lord. Understanding who he is and understanding who we are. We have to fear the Lord. There are consequences to how we live. Do they see God in you every day? You know, girls will they tend to marry people like their father. They see things about their father. Be the father. Be the father that your kids deserve. That means being close to God. That means being faithful in the moment. Because the girls are watching you. They will marry men like you. And boys are watching you. Our young men are watching you. They're going to treat women and other people how you treat other and women. Boys are watching. Our kids are watching. Be the parents that your kids deserve. You know, our prime timers and our adults, our singles, our campus. You know, are you still daring in your faith? Do we talk about it in the past? This is what God did in 2005. And he did. He did amazing things. But God is here in the moment. Are you still daring? Are you still, your faith is challenging to people? Are you radical in your faith? Are you radical in repentance? Or is God just in the past? We need you. We need you to engage. We need you to be men and women in the church who will take care of our kids. Please connect with them. Talk to them. Be interested in what they're interested in. Spend time with them. Have conversation with them. We need everybody engaged with all the kids in here. We need you. Father, take time to see your children. Listen to them. Help them to see Jesus. Help them to understand God, to show them your faith. You know, there was a story by Ernest Hemingway, a short story about a father. A father and a son had a fallen out, and they just didn't see eye to eye, and so the son decided, I'm going to go to Madrid. So he just left his father and went to Madrid. And so the father, after thinking about it for a while, he says, I gotta go find my son. So he goes to Madrid, but Madrid is huge, right? You know, he doesn't know where to start. So he's looking for his son for a couple of days, cannot find his son. So he's decided, hey, look, I'm gonna take an ad in the newspaper to see if my son will come. So he took an ad in the newspaper, and this is what he wrote. He says, Paco, meet me at the Hotel Montana, noon Tuesday. All is forgiven, Papa. So he put that in the ads. So on Tuesday, he went to the Hotel Montana, and there were 800 young men that showed up. Looking for forgiveness from their dad. Life is so short to have grudges. Life is so short to have broken relationships. We need to mend those relationships. Yeah, I know it's hard. I know it's hard. But kids, they desperately need to hear us, to be forgiven. And kids, forgive your parents. Your parents are not, they're humans too. They make mistakes. Contrary to your belief, your parents make mistakes. They're human. Forgive them. 800 young men came to see if they can find their father. Restore that relationship with them if it is strained and broken. And finally, it says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. And it's to stand firm in the faith. Don't let anything shake you. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Fathers, brothers, be men of courage. We need men who are courageous, who will do courageous things, who will be daring for God. We need men to stand in the gap. Fatherhood is so challenged in 2019. It's hard to find a great father. It's hard to find great men who will stand up for injustice, who will stand up for sin, who will stand up in the gap for God. We are those that will not shrink back. We are those that will be courageous for our family and for our church, for our community, for this world. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. I want to just encourage all the fathers. Thank you for being a great father. I know it's challenging. In a world where good fathers are difficult to find, thank you for standing in the gap, leading your family to God. We honor you today. We give you the honor that you solely deserve. And I pray that God will continue to bless your life, continue to bless your family as you move forward. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. God bless. Thank you.